Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. So we're going to start this podcast talking about the credit bubble. There's $1.6 trillion in private credit. There's $1.4 trillion in collateralized loan obligations. These are packaged loan products, mostly by banks, to very distressed, highly leveraged companies. $1.4 trillion. There's $1.5 trillion in junk bonds. That's just the credit bubble on the business side. And then you have the U.S. debt situation. The national debt to GDP, as you know, is 123%. That's equal to 720% of revenue. That $40 trillion in debt is equal to 720% of revenue. Now, that interest payment, just the interest payments on that debt, amount to $24 billion a week. That's over $1.2 trillion a year in just interest payments. And I bring this up for a very specific reason. In the next recession, our government is going to have to step in and try to remediate the problem, as they always do, by spending a ton of money and having the Federal Reserve monetizing it. But the government, when the government deficit spends this time around, they're going to do so with a balance sheet that is broken. The government balance sheet is already broken. The national debt to GDP, for example, was 60% in 2000. It was also about 60% in 2007. Today, again, 123%, more than double the percentage of GDP that we have in debt today. So when they start borrowing and when they start printing, long-term interest rates may very well rise, not fall. And you know, I think corporate insiders are now getting this. They understand how bad the bubble is getting. Even they're scared. Corporate insiders sold, this is according to Epper Market Intelligence, they sold $77.6 billion of stock during the first half of 2026. That's the second fastest pace in 20 years. And it's a 20% increase from last year. Corporate insiders, they know. So let's talk a little bit about the housing market. Home sellers now outnumber buyers by 633,000. That's the largest gap on record. We all know, and everybody who's my listener or my client knows, that I always talk about the triumvirate of bubbles. I just talked about the credit bubble, housing bubble, record home price to income ratios. Well, guess what? Now the gap between those who are looking for a home and those who are selling the home has never been greater. And it's starting to, all this is starting to affect the economy. If you look at the non-farm payroll report, the household survey, they showed 507,000 people lost jobs in June. So the establishment survey said there was 57,000 jobs created. The household survey says that we lost over 500,000 jobs. And it's not just the month of June that we're talking about. The household survey, which always leads the establishment survey, showed that 1.7 million people lost their jobs so far this year. So, housing bubble, talked about that. Credit bubble, give you an update on that. We all know about the equity bubble, just to refresh, because I always have new listeners here. The total market cap of equities, which is the best metric to talk about and to view the valuation of the stock market. Total market cap of equities is 235% as compared to GDP. That's 135 percentage points above the long-term average. I got to say that again because it's so mind-boggling. The relationship between the market cap of equities and the underlying economy is now 135 percentage points higher than the long-term average. If you don't like that statistic, price to sales are now 45% above the long-term average. If you don't like that, how about there's now $1.4 trillion in margin debt, which is not only a record, nominally speaking, shattering records, but it's also a record as a percentage of GDP. So we have a very fragile economy here. It's predicated on asset bubbles, be they AI spending or credit or housing or equities. And I know, I'm convinced that the Fed is aware of this because Kevin Warsh, our new fearless leader, he's got to have a lot of temerity to take that job because he's either going to be a massive money printer or be the steward at the helm of a depression, which they're going to blame on him. I'm sure they will. But Kevin Warsh is not exactly a hard money guy. He's not behaving like one so far. He printed $39 billion in base money supply since May 22nd. That's $722 million of money printing every day since he has taken the helm of the Federal Reserve. A lot of this money printing is just being done to make sure we don't have a problem in the stock market, and we don't have a problem in the housing market, and we don't have a problem in the credit market, and we don't have a problem in the banking system. So they're preemptively printing like maniacs. Even Kevin Warsh is doing so just to make sure we don't have big problems here. But listen, even though we have a very activist Federal Reserve, and I believe the reason why they're so proactively aggressive is that they want to avoid another cyclical period of time where the market goes down or goes nowhere. So you look at the Great Depression. I mentioned this data last week from NYU Stern School of Business. The Great Depression saw 20 years where the average return was just 0.6%. In the stagflation era of 15 years between 69 and 84, it was 0.5% average return. And since the year 2000, from 2000 to 2012, those 12 years, it was minus 0.8%. They want to avoid that like the plague because they know, the Fed knows that when we have a recession and when we have a bear market, you're going to wipe out the banking system and you're going to cause a depression. And the reason is simple. Because the degree of the bubbles that we have, the degree in the credit bubble, the degree in the housing bubble, the degree in the equity bubble are so extreme. They're unprecedented, record setting. And for the first time in history, they're concurrent. They're happening at the same time. So the very high likelihood is a recession becomes a depression, and they're doing everything they can to preemptively print trillions of dollars. They've already done it to make sure it never happens again. Now, having said all that, I want to just flip to the portfolio. This has been a very challenging year so far for us. We had a great start to the year. We were investing correctly for the second derivative of inflation to rise. We had commodities, we had precious metals, and then along came February 28th and the war with Iran, and prices spiked, commodities spiked, inflation spiked, which, by the way, is, and I'm trying to educate people on this, rising inflation is bad for gold when interest rates are rising too. So if interest rates are rising faster than inflation, that means you have positive real interest rates, And that's bad for gold. And that's what happened. That's what happened for a while. And then we reached this memorandum of understanding, which then sent oil crashing. So oil went from $65 a barrel to $120 a barrel. Then the memorandum of understanding gets released. And then oil crashes to $67 a barrel. And then for whatever reason, you can blame who you want, the war goes kinetic again, and we went from $67 a barrel on WTI back to around $90 a barrel. So the cyclicality of the second derivative of inflation has become very compressed. Whereas you think about modeling the economy as far as the Treasury is concerned, as far as the Fed's concerned, as far as macroeconomics are concerned, it's very easy. But when you're forced to monitor the mood swings of the IRGC and President Trump, you get wildly swung between inflation and deflation. And you're beholden to the president's social media accounts. And that's why it's been very difficult to model what's going on here. You just don't know. Because at any moment you could have this is the truth. At any moment you can have an announcement that Iran and the United States have reached another ceasefire. That's absolutely possible and credible to believe, since both parties, I believe, are desperately seeking one. I think Iran does not want to be bombed back into the Stone Age, and the president needs to get the price of oil down and energy down before the midterms. He would like that to happen. Just imagine if he doesn't have both houses of Congress and the investigations that will ensue thereof. So it would make his life a lot easier for the remaining 2 years of his term. And he does want to get a lot of stuff done as well. So that's a possibility. On the other hand, it's also a very good possibility that the Houthis that control part of Yemen will control the Red Sea and blockade that. And now you have the Strait of Hormuz blocked and you have the Red Sea partially blocked. That's a possibility as well. And then oil goes above $120 a barrel. And what makes this a lot easier, and why, you know, I'm so confident in my ability to manage around this, is because of the model I created. And right now, I can't believe I'm even going to say this, because it's just the math behind the data output of the model. We're still in a period of quiescence. We're still long equities. We are still believing that a recession's coming sometime in the near future. It's just not now. So to be clear, we're invested for and allocated for a bounce between sectors 2, 3, and 4, which is disinflation, stasis, and reflation. It's happening quickly. It's compressed, as I stated before, and I stated the reason why. And we're going to continue to trade that way until I see my model clearly give a signal that we're headed for either a recession, a credit crisis, or stagflation. Those will be the next indicators for a change. Until then, both my hands remain firmly on the wheel as I pray and believe completely in my ability to guide this firm and my clients towards success.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.